Hi, this is David Flowers, Senior Pastor at Grantham Church, an intergenerational, convergent, third-way congregation with the Brethren in Christ U.S. and located in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. I want to thank you for listening to our podcast and for following the sermons that I and many others preach at Grantham. This is a free podcast and it'll always be that way, but if you'd like to give and help further the work we're doing for the kingdom, we'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to do that, you can do that by going to granthamchurch.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Whether you're a member of our church or you're listening as a podritioner, it's our greatest desire that you would encounter Jesus and be changed by the good news wherever you are. Anyway, God bless you, and I hope you enjoy the podcast. Good morning, Grantham Church. Thank you for joining us in worship this morning. Someone's excited about Kids Own Worship. We're continuing our Sermon on the Mount Part 2 series this morning. If you look in your bulletin, you can see a summary of the sermon there. We live in a world that is constantly telling us we need more. More money, more security, more possessions. This pressure easily produces anxiety, fear, and striving. But Jesus teaches us a kingdom truth. In Him, we already have enough. In today's message, Julie Johnson is going to remind us that Jesus' command not to worry is directly related to money, and then she invites us to believe that God is a loving Father who will care and provide for our every need. Julia, would you go ahead and come on up here, and I'm going to pray for Julia. As she's coming, you may not know this, Julia and Dwayne have been members of Grantham for 15 years, and the work of 180 they've been doing for 10 years, right? In the last 5 years, 180 has been a nonprofit, and they're one of our ministry partners here at Grantham. We love them, we support them in all that we do. Let's pray, not just for Julia this morning, but let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray that we would have an open heart and an open mind to what God would want to say to us. Let's do that together. Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for revealing who you really are in your Son, Christ our Lord, who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Amen. We thank you, Lord, that we can worship and celebrate you this morning, knowing, despite what's going on in our lives and around us, though those things aren't trivial, we do believe that you have secured our future. Amen. Through your death and resurrection, you have promised us hope and a good future. Mm. Help us, Lord, this morning to hear your word, to be freed from the anxiety and the worries of this world, that we might serve and bless others and be about justice, rooted in hope in your good future, believing that nothing can separate us from your love. Hallelujah. Lord, we lift up Julia to you. We pray that you would anoint her, fill her with your Holy Spirit. Speak a powerful word to us listening in this room and at home via live stream. We thank you for this opportunity, this blessing to receive a word from you. Help us, God, to apply it to our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Would you welcome Amen. Julia this morning?
Thank you, Pastor David. Good morning, friends, and thank you, Pastor David, for the introduction. It is always an honor and a pleasure to be able to share my heart and the Word of God here at Grantham Church, as this is a part of the family and congregation that I have belonged to that literally God has used to help transform not only my life, but the life of my husband and our children. And so you're going to hear some of those stories today, and I hope that they will encourage you and inspire you to continue pushing forward in all the things that God has for you. Today we're going to explore the truth about what Jesus tells us about money. When I first read that or spoke that to myself, I got a little anxious because I feel like anytime you start to talk about money, everyone sort of takes a deep breath. But when you see it through kingdom eyes and you understand what it is, it literally relieves that pressure almost instantly. This isn't just about how much or how little you have. but about your heart, my heart, and where we place our trust, where we place our hope. So today, let's open ourselves to what God wants to teach us about living with a sense of enough. Now, you can look at this either way. Enough what? You know what? Enough anxiety. Enough fear. Enough insecurity. I don't know about you, but I've had enough. And Jesus says to me, good, because I am your enough. Everything that you need, I will provide. Financial anxiety is not just about money. It is about trust. It is about identity. And it's about where we believe our security and our hope comes from. When we do not live according to God's truth about money, it becomes easy to live anxious, pressured, and fearful lives. I don't know about you, but it also causes me with this to feel like I need to strive for something. I need to work harder to meet their expectations when God says, enough. It's time to rest. It's probably one of the biggest things that I battle, is knowing that it's okay to rest. Not only is it okay, we're supposed to. That's where we meet him intimately, is in those times of rest, so that we can continue to move forward in the things that he is calling us to do. When we embrace the kingdom way of living, peace will replace panic, and trust replaces fear. I'm going to go ahead and read, I think Sherry read it already this morning, but I'd like to read it again, Matthew 6:25-34. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worry, can add 1 minute to your life? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself on its own. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, I was reading from the New King James Version only because it's super giant print and I could see it. So I had to switch it up this morning so that I could see what I was to read. So if it sounded a little bit different than what was on the screen, that is why. Jesus never minimizes our needs. He knows them and he understands them. I think oftentimes we forget that Jesus took on the form of man, so he had those same needs. He understands those same longings. So he doesn't forget about those things. He is redefining our trust. He is calling us to shift from this survival type of thinking to kingdom thinking. I remember several years ago, Dwayne, if you know my husband's story, had a radical encounter with Jesus, was delivered from a lifetime of addiction instantly. And we have shared that often here. It's a huge part of our story. But not long after that, for the first time in our relationship, we were both healthy-ish, right? We were both healthy-ish, but we both had employment for the first time, which meant we had two incomes. And they weren't huge incomes, but there was a sense of security with that. And I was doing all the things. I was actually a manager at a fitness center, and I was sharing the gospel with people, and I was telling them about Jesus, and I was having these incredible conversations, and then I got fired. And I went home, and I remember being so angry and confused with God. I'm doing all the things, and you let him fire me? And I was angry because now we're right back to where we started. We have one income. And I remember sitting on my couch, and the Lord, real anxious, and I'm putting in applications everywhere, and the Lord reminded me of something I had been praying. And what I had been praying was more time with my family. All of my children were at home. Paige was just a little tyke. She's 14 now. And I was praying for more time with my family, and Paige is sitting for about an hour on the floor, and she's coloring, and she's playing, and I'm on the computer trying to find a job, and God says, "You're missing it, Julia." And I stopped. I said, "What am I missing?" He said, "What you prayed for. Just because it doesn't look like what you wanted it to, you're going to reject it. Because your ego was bruised. Because your pride was hurt. Because you were doing the right thing, and how dare he? You're missing it." So I remember closing my computer that day, and I got on the floor with Paige, and we played Barbies for like 2 hours. And I will tell you, that was the birth of what we know now as 180 Ministries. For the next 3 years, I was unemployed. And that is where the birth of 180 Ministries started. That is where the trash bags in the back of my car started. So God had a bigger plan than I could have ever imagined. And I am not unemployed now. There is a lot of work to do at 180 Ministries. It's wonderful. He doesn't ignore our needs. He invites us to trust the Father who already knows them. God knew what he was doing in that moment. Matthew, if we go to the second slide, Matthew 6:24, it says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." We cannot divide our loyalty between God and money. Money is not evil, but it becomes dangerous. When it takes the place of God in our hearts, it becomes an idol. It becomes bondage. It can become crippling. We get to choose how we view money. Is it mine? Is it yours? Or is it God's? That he is trusting you with. Whew. To think that we have a God who trusts us with a gift from him? How humbling. What a responsibility, though. That is why we have to make sure we are connected to the Holy Spirit when we are making decisions of what we're doing with our money. I remember there was a time, I don't know about you guys, but I'm one of those impulse shoppers, was. Those little end cabinets at the grocery store, my biggest downfall. Oh, yeah, the last scene on TV. I need that sock that's going to, you know, scrub my feet at the same time. I probably have 12 pairs of those things, right? So I remember when I decided that I was giving everything to God, and I mean everything, I was sitting down at Wise Market on Simpson Street. And I was getting ready to go into the grocery store, and I went into prayer. And I said, "Heavenly Father, lead me to the best sales that you have in this store for me. Keep me away from those end aisles. Don't show me anything in the middle. I want all the way around and right to the register. And let me tell you something. In the middle of that prayer, you know what I heard? You're an idiot. That's what I heard. You can't even grocery shop on your own without asking God for help. How pathetic are you? And I owned it for a minute, for a split second. And then I said, get thee behind me. How grateful, how privileged I am that I have a God of all creation that cares about my grocery shopping, that wants to lead me to the best choice of steak for the cheapest price. That's our God. That's how much he loves you and cares about you and wants to be involved in every decision, every aspect of your life. Jesus is our provider, and he has endless resources. If I go back to the first story I told you about when I lost the job, he said to me, I remember him saying to me, he signed your paycheck, but I'm the provider of that paycheck. That lesson I have learned many times over in the ministry that we do. If we don't get a grant, the Lord reminds me, where do you think they get their money? It's all right. I'll just filter it through another way, and he does. Right? We can become anxious and fearful, which ultimately affects our quality of life. If you're honest with yourself, have you ever been anxious about how you were going to pay a bill or how you were going to provide for your family? What does it do to you? Physically, to me, my heart starts to race. I lose sleep. Ask Dwayne, I get cranky. All the things, like it takes a toll on the quality of life. All mental health, physical health, and spiritual. I remember when we first started here, a person that was a part of our story, Miss Avis. Dwayne and I used to go back and forth about tithing and what that should look like. We came up with an amount, and we were sticking to that, and this particular morning, this amount was going to leave us with $75 for the entire week. That's food, that's gas, we had kids at home. I mean, they'd spend $75 in a day. And the Lord led us. We didn't necessarily agree on this, but we decided that we were going to give what we had agreed on. One of us was a little reluctant. That morning, there happened to be a Sunday school class that was a marriage class. So Dwayne and I went in, and we sat down, and Miss Avis comes up, and she has this envelope. And on the back of the envelope, she has Jeremiah 29:11. And if you come into 180 Ministries, you will see that Bible verse on the wall. That Bible verse tells you that his promise is not to harm us, but to give us hope and a future. I hadn't even opened the envelope yet, and I'm sitting there crying. And she reaches over my husband, and Miss Avis puts her hand on my leg, and she said, I need you to open the envelope. So I open the envelope, and I look inside, and it is double the amount that we gave. God did not waste a minute to show up. These are the moments that built our faith in doing, and it wasn't a whole lot, friends. It's not like we were giving a ton of money. It wasn't even about the amount. God wanted us to be faithful. Then he used somebody in the body of the church, right, in the body of Christ, to minister to us, which then connected us to Miss Avis. Like, she became a huge part of our journey, and that built our faith for the next time that God called us to do something that was a little scary. Right? And it was beautiful. He was using all of that to get us connected to all of you, to the body of Christ, to himself. Right? The way he uses us, that's why community here is so important. What we serve will control us. What we trust will shape our peace. What we chase becomes our master. Money promises security, but it never delivers peace. God promises peace, and he always delivers. When money becomes our master, anxiety grows, fear controls decisions, right? And joy becomes fragile. When God is our master, peace settles our hearts, trust anchors our lives, and freedom replaces fear. And I think the most beautiful thing is that we get to experience God right here, right now, and we are reminded that we do not have to wait to get to heaven to experience kingdom right now. Right now. So what are we doing? Why are we waiting? If the truth is that we can experience the kingdom of God right in this moment, what are we waiting for? And what it does with your relationship with God, the intimacy you begin to have with him, it'll rock your world. It'll change your life. And then in Luke 18, 28 through 30. Peter said to him, "We have left all we had to follow you." "Truly I tell you," Jesus said to them, "no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come eternal life." Of course, I have another story. Before my husband had his encounter with Christ, with the Holy Spirit, I attended Grantham Church for 2 years by myself. And sometimes that was a downright fight to get here. There were times that my husband would take the vehicle, and so I would walk. I was 8 months pregnant, and it was a short walk, about 2 miles, but I was chasing after Jesus with everything I had. There were times that Duane would stand in front of the door and tell me that I was not going to church. He did not want me there. He did not want our children there. And I would grab Peyton, and I would run out the back door, jump in the vehicle, and drive on up to Grantham Church. And I remember sitting out in this parking lot on a day that this happened. And before I left, Duane said to me, "If you go to church, I'm leaving." Now, anybody who's had a loved one that struggles with addiction, you know when they tell you they're leaving, that could mean anything. I was terrified. And I sat out in the parking lot, and I cried, because I just wanted to go home. Because if I went home, at least I would know where my husband was, and that he was safe, and that he wasn't using. And I remember sitting in that, it was a red blazer, and I remember sitting in that thing, and I started just crying, and Jesus said to me, "Julia, if you want everything that I have for you, you're going to have to pick me first. You are going to have to put me first above everybody, above everything, above every choice, everything you think you want. You have to put me first." And when I tell you I was so broken that day, I remember just barely sliding out of the blazer. And I walked in, and Homer Crable was in the back. And he always had a quarter for Peyton in case she lost a tooth. And I think that particular day, he knew I was pretty upset, and he gave her a quarter anyway, so that was a pretty good day for her. And I will tell you right now, if I didn't put Jesus first in those moments, my husband and I would not be married now. So I do have some people say to me, "So how do you do that? Like, is that something, like, you really put God before your own children?" Yes. Yes. You really put God before your spouse? Yes. putting God before my spouse is what led him to Christ. Putting God before my spouse is what saved my children. God has to be first, every decision, every time. God's rewards are not only financial, they're so much greater than just finance. When we release earthly security, God gives us spiritual security in Him. He gives us an eternal mindset. We're not thinking about the moment and just now. We're thinking about what's coming. We're thinking about life beyond here. We're thinking about the kingdom. We're storing our treasures in a place that truly is different than here. Right? It's a deeper peace and it's a greater purpose. When you can think outside of yourself, when somebody else can matter more to you than you matter to yourself, it's so freeing. It's so freeing. If you ever come into the building, most times as the executive director, I'm in sweatpants, hair in little pigtails, maybe a ball cap. Do you think I'm thinking about anybody else and what they're going to have to look at that day? No. Right? I don't think about myself or the you know, what I'm portraying in that. I just want to get there and be able to be in true to myself and be able to love on people in that space, right? It shows us the generosity and surrender never lead to lack. They lead to abundance. Abundance in peace. Abundance in faith. Abundance. I remember 5 years ago when we walked into 180 Ministries, and many of our board members are here, but we walked into this building and we knew that, hi, Mr. Dale. I remember walking into the building and we had rent that was going to be due for the residents in a month. We didn't even have half of it in our checking account. We walked into that building with $200. That was 5 years ago. We are now housing 8 women and 5 children. We run a full-time ministry. And it literally started out of trash bags in the back of my car. But when we walked into that building, we had $200, a whole lot of faith, and a yes to Jesus. I remember, before closing here, I remember the first time that I went to our checking account and I looked at our savings, and there was one. Like, I was so excited. It wasn't crazy, but there was one. And I started to add to it, and I started to add to it, and you know what began to happen? I sort of puffed up a little bit. Whew, I actually have a savings now. We couldn't pay our rent, you know, 10 years ago, and now I have a savings. But I began to look at that, and I clung to that. And I had an amount that I was not going to go under. I wasn't going to go under that amount. I had worked hard for that money. I had earned that money. And it was my new identity. I finally made it. I had a savings. And so what I noticed is I was still seeing the need around me. And if I had it in my checking, I'd be like, okay, I'll give. Or I'll help. And the Lord started to say, you need to shift your glaze a little further. And I'd glaze over and glaze right back. And he stayed on me. He's like, what is that? You're seeing all this need, and you're clinging to the security and the safety and the, you know, the prestige of having this savings account while you're watching people suffer. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having a savings account, but for me, it became an idol. For me, I did release it, but it took a lot. It took a lot for me to be able to do it because it had become almost like a badge of honor for me. And I remember, I don't know, to this day, I don't know who it was, but there was a time that my husband was helping with the youth group, and they had asked him to be a part of the, they were going on a week's trip. They were going on a a missions trip. And we prayed about it because it meant he would have to miss a week of work. And I wasn't working at this time. And I remember we prayed, and Dwayne said, I think God is calling me to do this, Jules. And I said, okay, here we go. Because at that point, he was pretty new at his job. He didn't have vacation, which meant we were going to miss out on a week's worth of his pay. So we were going to miss out on that. So Dwayne went, and he spent the week with the kids. And he came back, and he would just, the way that those boys blessed my husband, the way that they spoke into his life and made him feel valued and cared for was priceless enough. But God didn't stop there. We came into church the next Sunday. I went to my church mailbox. I pulled out a card, and I opened it up, and there was $500 in the card with no signature, with a thank you to my husband for investing in the young men that were on this trip. So I don't know if you're here. I don't know if it was you. But I want you to know that God used you in a very powerful way. He taught us through you how to walk in faith. And he didn't stop there, because Jules Closet was here. And I came up later on in the week, and I went back to my mailbox, and there was $250 gift cards to Giant. God knew what we needed before we even knew what we needed, and he provided it in our yes. And the way that that enriches and it strengthens your faith in Christ to move forward and to do the things that he's calling you to do, it's just incredible. Without those little moments of obedience in fear, there were definitely times that we were being obedient and we were afraid. And we did it anyway. And God honored it every single time. There is a radical commitment required for believers to put Jesus first every single time. It's a commitment. You have to be intentional about it. You cannot be passive about Jesus. It is a radical requirement to put Jesus first every single time, over everybody, every choice, every relationship, everything. Final thoughts. Money is a tool. It is not our master. We use it. It can be a blessing. It does not rule us. God is our source, not our salary. Jobs can change, but God never does. Trust in Christ brings freedom. It brings peace, and it brings joy. Anxiety will keep you bound. It chains us, and trust frees us. When we release control, God reveals his provision. And many times, it's more than anything that we can even begin to imagine. God works best when we stop gripping tightly. Abundance is found in faith, not finances. Real abundance is peace. It is contentment. It is purpose and confidence in Christ. Let's go ahead and go with some of our reflection questions. Number one, what financial fears or pressures am I holding on to instead of giving it to God? I invite you to name them silently to yourself. It could look something like debt, insecurity, lack, fear of the future, Number two, in what ways do my spending, saving, or giving habits show who I truly trust? Money reveals what words often hide. And number three, what would change in my life if I fully believed that God is my provider? Provider of all things, not just money. Provider of your peace. Provider of your protection. Provider of your love. Provider of your identity. Your security. What if you truly believe that? How would your life change? How would your daily living change if you truly believe that? If we truly believe that and step into that? So I have a challenge for us this week, because anybody who knows me knows I love a challenge. So our weekly challenge is trust in action. Faith grows when it is practiced, as well as anything else. If you leave it stagnant, it's not going to go anywhere. You got to practice it. You can't hear this and walk out and not practice it. If you want to change it, you want it to get bigger, you got to practice, right? So number one for this week is about turning trust into action. We're going to pray daily, and we're going to pray, God, I give you my finances, all of them. Not just what's in your checking, like I did for a long time. All of them. They're his anyway. Who are we to tell him he doesn't have access to them? God, I give you my finances. You are my provider. Practice generosity. We're going to give intentionally, even something small. It trains your heart to trust God and not money. So start small. We're going to replace worry. When anxiety comes, we're going to speak aloud, I cannot serve two masters. I cannot serve both God and money, and I choose God. And then we're going to track God's faithfulness. We're going to write down one way that God provides each day. Provision is often quiet, but it's constant. It's consistent. He will provide. And at the end of the week, you will see something powerful. You will see that God has been faithful all along. Our trust simply needed to catch up to his greatness. And then my closing thought said, now let's see how closely I follow this outline. I did pretty good. So that's it. Yeah, I can pray. Let me do that. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, Lord, for the presence of your Holy Spirit here with us, Lord. God, we thank you for the privilege and the honor of being yours. We thank you for the privilege of being in this space, Lord, for being able to call upon your name, Father, in all things. God, we thank you for the reminder that you are our provider. Everything we need is in you, God. And I just pray this week over my brothers and sisters here, God, that they will meet you in tangible ways, Father, that their obedience, even in fear, God, will be met in the faithfulness of who you are, God, that this week they will draw closer to you and that their faith will increase, God. Lord, we love you, we honor you, and we give all the praise to you in Jesus' name. Amen.